Welcome to Naomi's Table, a Bible-based program just for women where seasoned Naomis nurture young roots with real scriptural food for the spirit, encouraging and equipping your walk in biblical womanhood. Grab a Bible, pull up a chair, and invite your friends. There's plenty of room at Naomi's Table. Welcome to Naomi's Table, everyone. I'm Amy Spreeman. We're so glad you're here. And also at the table with me is Nancy LeMay, my co-host. Hey, Nancy.
Hey.
Hey, today we are talking about asking God questions, and we're titling this one, if you're looking for the podcast later, God, why? You know, have you ever felt anger toward God, and is it wrong to question him? Well, you may have been taught from an early age that it is wrong to question his authority, of course, but we're going to go to scripture to see what his word has to say about those who've had questions and even some angry or doubtful ones.
And then in our Bible Study segment, we're starting a brand new journey into the book of Habakkuk. He was a man who did question God, and you're going to meet our new Bible Study teacher, Connie Stamfel. Today's lesson is an overview of this exciting and devastating time in the declining days of Judah. Be sure to download the notes in our Bible Study tab on the menu so you can follow along.
Oh, I'm very excited to start this one. And if you would like to join the table and connect with us, you can check out our Facebook page. Men, women are on there. And we're starting to have some great conversation. You can also send us an email to connect@naomistable.com if you've got a program suggestion or you simply have a question or a comment. And ladies, if you would like to head over to our website, you can find all the information on how to join women around the world in our Google Plus community group where we're making friends and we're just talking about what the Bible has to say about different topics, some of those things that we cover here at the table, and a lot of times some of the emails and notes that we talk about come from that Google group when we ask women to share. So thank you for joining us in that. So today's topic is about whether or not it's wrong to question God. And Nancy, I think the how we question God is probably pretty important, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you're doing it in a, snotty way, if you're doing it out of a rebellious heart, that's not good. I mean, bitterness, things like that, untrusting, almost like daring God to answer you, that's not good. But when you're questioning him from a humble spirit and an open mind, and you're just asking God, God, I really want to know, help me understand this, you know, that's good. Plus, I mean, we're supposed to ask him things. We are. Jesus said, ask anything in my name and it will be granted to you. Now remember, in my name means you are asking in place of Jesus, representing all he was and is. So that's not, oh boy, I get to ask Santa Claus something.
No, exactly.
No, it is, you are representing Jesus. So therefore what you ask is going to be what Jesus would have asked.
Yes, a couple of examples, and I know women who are listening to this, you could probably share, if you would like to, some of your own times when you've questioned God. I know that I have, Nancy, a long time ago. Oh, boy, we're coming up on about 18 years ago now. I believed that God blessed us with a child, but then I lost that child through miscarriage, and I questioned God. I was so sad and so devastated to lose this little baby that I thought was meant to be, and I really went off the rails for a little bit, quite frankly. I you know, it took me a long time, and I've shared this story before, but I did question him, and he did, through his word, answer back. And so very interesting times that we live in, where maybe we're seeing some people question God about the times we're in. You know, there are things going on in the world where the world is getting darker, and a lot of us have questions. God, what are you doing in Syria? What are you doing around the world? Will terrorism happen here? God, what's going to happen? So when we question God, we do need to come to him in a contrite manner.
Oh, yes. And David, King David, he was probably the epitome of this. It was said he was a man after God's own heart. And yet he, despite being anointed king, was constantly chased and threatened with death by Saul, the existing king who God had turned his back on because he was so wicked and so rebellious against God. And this is what David said in Psalm 10. This is verses 1 through 18. Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In arrogance, the wicked hotly pursue the poor. Let them be caught in their schemes that they have devised, for the wicked boast of the desires of his soul, and the one greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord. In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. His ways prosper at all times. Your judgments are on high, out of his sight. As for all his foes, he puffs at them. So he's starting out asking God, where are you? Don't you see the predicament I'm in? Don't you see the ones that are trying to kill me? He's reminding God of how wicked they are and how evil they are, almost as if you're not going to let them win, are you? You're not going to let them prosper. Mm. And then in the end, he's saying, but this is how you are. This is your character. This is your nature. You are the judge of all, and you will puff at them, all of your foes. So it's kind of a good roadmap for us when we are in these times and travails, that we should always end by remembering who God is and that he has not forgotten us.
So have you, ladies, have you ever questioned God either in anger or in doubt? And let's talk a little bit about the doubt side of it, Nancy, because a lot of times we question God when we aren't clear on something, maybe doctrinally in our faith. And so we go to God and we say, God, I don't understand this Trinity thing, or I just don't understand how a good God can let bad things happen. You know, that kind of thing. Very basic questions that we've all had, you know, for thousands of years as we've come to try to understand at least a little piece of God. And that is the right way to do it, is if we go to him and say, Lord, would you allow your Holy Spirit to open my eyes on some things? I would like to find this in Scripture, Lord. Can you help me find what I need so that I can understand what you are trying to tell us in your word?
Absolutely. A perfect example is in James, I believe it's verse 1:5, where he talks about, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask, and the God who is faithful to give all things will provide it. So we are supposed to ask for wisdom. That's one of those prayers you can pray that's always going to be a yes. We like those prayers.
Yeah,
so something like that. We can always pray for grace. If we need to forgive someone and we are really struggling, we can ask God for the grace to be able to forgive them. We're supposed to ask him to take our cares on himself. It says, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. So we are to ask him for those things.
We are to ask him for those things, Nancy. And in one of the trends in the church, and we do this program for women because a lot of the things that we learn about God and about questioning him comes from popular book authors rather than biblical truth. And we do need to have one warning here today. There is a book that's circulating and is now starting to reemerge as a very, very popular teaching tool, and it's called The Circle Maker. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because the methodology about this book, it looks Christian. It's got a lot of scripture in it. But what the person is supposed to do is she is supposed to circle prayers in the Bible and circle promises, but then draw circles around her own prayers to God. And it's almost demanding that God fulfill our wants and needs. It's a pagan practice that comes from a guy from thousands of years ago named Honi, the Circle Maker. He wasn't a child of Israel, but we're using these old mystical type things, these pagan, actually circles do come from Wiccan or witchcraft. So we want to be very careful about that in prayer. But God tells us how to ask for things. Our Father in heaven, the Lord's Prayer, tells us exactly how we are to pray.
And I don't recall anywhere in the Bible that it says that we are to draw a circle around ourselves while we pray.
No, you know, there, it's not in there. In fact, I am going to, it's very controversial, and I know that Nancy and I won't be very popular for sharing this concern, but we are very passionate about helping women understand this. So I'm going to post an article today about the circle maker and have you look at it, because this article does a very good job comparing scripture and the truth of God's word to what is written in this new book, very popular book. And I want you to understand and compare and contrast and be a good Berean, ladies, and understand that there is a huge difference.
Now, I may be wrong. I don't know really enough about this, but I believe I heard that the fellow that this is all based on,
yes,
this desert father,
his
if honey, you will,
yes,
yes, that he was actually like one of the founders or practicers of Kabbalah, which was the mystical version of Judaism. And I don't know if you remember back a ways, but Madonna, the singer, she is a practitioner of Kabbalah. So if she is a practitioner of Kabbalah while rejecting the sinless nature of believers in the one true God and his son, Jesus Christ, then can this be a good teaching for the Christian church?
Well, I don't believe that it is. Again, that's my opinion, and I know that we're probably going to ruffle some feathers, but I think it's important to have these conversations at the table. And if you were sitting here with me having coffee at my own kitchen table, I would definitely talk about this with you, because I care very much about how tens of thousands of churches now across the United States are now taking this New York Times bestseller, and now there's the Circle Maker for Children. I don't know if you knew that, Nancy, but a lot of women have loved this book. Men and women have. And, you know, where some of the false teachings do come into the church is through women who read books that aren't the Bible, unfortunately. And ladies, it's just true. We tend to do that. We get very excited, well-intentioned. But I will post this article at naomistable.com, and please take a look. But, you know, the entire premise is based on a legend, the legend of Honi the Circle Maker. And that should really be a red flag to any Bible-believing Christian. And so we sincerely hope that you do investigate. Don't, you know, don't just take our word for it, but do investigate and go to Scripture and help understand why this is so pervasive in these new Bible studies that may be even in your own church today.
Now, the purpose of these circles, from what I understand, is that they are to stand in the circle and pray until God answers them. But what if God doesn't answer? Because sometimes the answer is no answer. And I think, for instance, about Job. Mm. He questioned God for all those chapters, all that time throughout the entire book of Job. And then finally, when God had enough, he asked Job a series of questions. Who is this who darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? And then later God asked, will the fault finder contend with the Almighty? Let him who reproves God answer it.
Yes. We really want to make sure that if we are going to pray, that we pray the way the Lord instructs us to pray. Not that we always have to use the Lord's Prayer, but it gives us a very good basis for what we are to pray about, how we are to approach him. He is our Father in heaven. And what's really beautiful about questioning God is the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. And we've said this on the program before. The Bible tells us that when we go to him in prayer, the Holy Spirit will use that and intercede for us before our Holy Father. And it also says that Jesus himself will intercede for us to the Father. And so you've got this beautiful picture of the Trinity, and God does listen to our prayers. Every prayer is heard.
And the more you understand of the character and nature of God, the more you study, the more you lean into him, mm-hmm, the more your prayers change.
That's
no
true.
More, God, I really need this. In Jesus' name, give it to me. No, it changes to, you know, God, I am really not sure if I want to face this trial, but if you can teach me something through it, then please walk with me through it.
You know, one of the greatest things about ministering to one another as women is that we can teach one another how to pray. And the older women teaching the younger women, that's also part of prayer as well, as you see in Titus 2. And so, Nancy, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest ways that I've grown in my prayer, not only, of course, on my own time, but is to be around other women who are godly women and examples of how to pray in God's name, and how, what a mature believer looks like. And I tell you, that ministered to me many, many times, and helped me mature as well.
And every one of us should have someone in our lives that is more mature, farther along on the walk, and can teach us, that we can learn from. If you're not in a discipling relationship where you have someone like that, or a mentoring relationship where someone is available to you for that, join the Google Plus page that we have, because there's lots of mature women in God there, lots of spiritual moms who would be happy to walk with you and guide you through some of these things.
Yes, and pray to God to have somebody come into your life. Perhaps you're a spiritual mom and you're not ministering to anybody in your life right now. Maybe there's a spiritual daughter who needs you. I think if we pray to God, He will. That is in His will that this happen. It is scriptural and biblical. So I do believe He does bring people into our lives when we ask for that.
And remember, we always have His Word. His Word is such a valuable treasure trove of advice, of wisdom, of instruction, of discipline, of conviction. And all you have to do is open it up and read it, maybe go even a little deeper, study what each word means, and you can really reap a good harvest from the time you spend in the Word.
Well, you know, one person who did question, as we said at the top of the program, questioning God over the times and the things that he saw God do in the waning days of Judah, was Habakkuk. And, you know, here's what he said in chapter 1, and this is from the ESV. It says, "O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence, and you will not save?" And it just a very powerful questioning. He's crying out to God, and it's almost, as we're going to find out from our Bible study teacher today, almost complaining.
Well, and here's the thing. If you are really questioning God with an open and sincere heart, and you really want to know the answer to these questions, you may get an answer you do not like.
Yes.
Because that's what Habakkuk gets. He gets an answer from God, but it's not the answer he was looking for.
Yes, and I think before we dive into that Bible study on Habakkuk today, we do need to meet our teacher. She's brand new to Naomi's table, but she's been in our lives for a little while. And Nancy, I know that you are very dear friends with Connie, and she goes to your church where she teaches there. Connie Stample is her name. We had a chance to sit down with her, and here's part of that interview when Connie came to the table. I think you'll enjoy her. Well, Connie Stample, welcome to the table.
Oh, thank you. It's very good to be with you.
Well, Nancy and I are thrilled to have you. And you've known Nancy, haven't you?
We've gotten to know each other, I think, over the past year or so.
It's been about that long, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We want to know all about Connie. We want to know, for our ladies who are tuning in, you're going to be our Bible study teacher for the next 15 lessons, and we're going to be doing the book of Habakkuk. And we're going to talk about that in the next segment, about why we picked Habakkuk and what's so significant about this journey. But Connie, tell us a little bit about your journey. How did you start out?
Oh, well, you know, truly, I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I will just start out there. But for me, I had the blessing of growing up in a family that went to church and had a faith. And what I remember actually is being 5 years old, sitting in the back pew of a small church and hearing the sermon, the message, and understanding really, truly, in a way that I hadn't up to that point. I knew there was a God, but understanding that Jesus Christ died for my sins. And to tell you the truth, even at 5 years old, I knew I was a sinner, because I'd gotten disciplined enough for fighting with my siblings that, I knew I had that in me. So
I can relate.
Yeah. And so that was the beginning of a journey. And in that small Lutheran church I grew up in, went through confirmation, which was a good learning something about God, but just such a tiny church that there wasn't any really resources or focus on discipleship. And so for me, I read the Bible a couple times myself, but there's huge portions of it I just did not understand. And it wasn't until I got to be in college and joined InterVarsity Christian Fellowship that I really had some true Christian fellowship and was able to grow in learning what God's word said. Fast forward several years and I'm in medical school and then getting married and then doing a residency, and life was just like crazy busy. Could make it to church maybe twice a month and was feeling pretty parched and dry at that point. And so I would study God's word when I could, but it was always really fast and on the fly. Fast forward some more years. I'm a mom, I'm working full-time in an emergency center, and I have three children. And if you can imagine, life was really, really crazy at that point. And I remember coming to a point where I'm like, I need to be in a Bible study with women. And so somehow I arranged and made my schedule happen so that I had one evening off a couple times a month so I could join with a group of women and study the Bible. And really, that was when my faith started to grow again, when I could finally be in God's Word. With women, actually.
Oh, wonderful. And you said that you were in a medical emergency. You were a doctor? How far did you go?
I actually was an emergency physician, which is a moderately stressful job. And so God brought me through that. But then I worked full-time for 5 years. I was blessed to be able to work half-time, part-time for 5 years, so a total of 10 years. And at that point, kind of looked at it, looked at the situation, and actually made the decision to retire. And so I left my career, and I had three children, all just starting school at that time, and I focused on being mom.
Wow, that must have been, that's opposite of what the world tells you to do, isn't it?
It is, and I'll truly tell you, it wasn't an easy transition. It took me a while to adjust to that, but I realized my significance is in the Lord Jesus and not in what I do. And I can tell you it was an incredible blessing for my husband, for my children, for me myself, to be able to not have the stress and the strain of the career I had been doing. And it's been a wonderful blessing to be home and be a homemaker.
And you are married to a doctor.
I am, yes. And so it just helps to have one of us have a normal schedule and the other one can be insane about schedules.
How did you meet?
Oh, Dave and I actually met in church, which is a good place to meet. Yeah. I was in medical school. He came to visit his sister, who went to the same university I did, and we were introduced because we were both in the medical field. And then over the next 6-9 months, we kind of decided that we really kind of fit together well, and that's the beginning.
And you mentioned that you now teach the Bible and that it's so important to teach the Word. Tell us a little bit about what your thoughts are on teaching women.
Oh, it is an incredible privilege to teach God's word to women. And I've come to understand that when we truly come to God's word, honestly, with our questions, and say, Lord, what do you desire to teach me? That's what Moses said in Exodus. Lord, teach me your ways so that I may please you. When we come to God's word and really say, okay, Lord, teach me, change me, allow me to be more who you want me to be. But actually, truly, first of all, we learn who God is. And we hold on to him. And then we learn about the power he has to change us through the Holy Spirit. That's what I hope for every woman who listens to a study or comes to a study. We learn together. But truly, God's word is a feast, in a sense, because we learn, again, who he is and how he helps us and how we can live. And to grow as a believer in Christ, you have to be in God's word. Otherwise, you're not going to be learning of him.
Now, Connie, you and Dave have a home fellowship, if you will, that has kind of grown. Can you tell me what that's like, having nothing but elders running the show?
Well, it's definitely different than the model of the church most people know. I think it is biblical because in the early church we find about elders leading the church. In our fellowship, everyone has other jobs and they just desire to serve the Lord. I think the elders we have are mature and understand God's word. And so they're just guiding people through growing in Christ and really loving and serving and being together, fellowshipping the way God would have us do, to be in the Word, to be in fellowship, to be in prayer. And those are things that we focus on when we meet together on Sundays.
I can tell you, since Mike and I have been going there, we have not been this challenged in years.
Well, that's good. Actually, truly, God's Word challenges us all the time. And truly, whenever we listen to a message or come to God's Word, we should be going away from it saying, Lord, what are you teaching me, and what do you want to change about me?
Oh. And Connie, we talk a lot at Naomi's Table about biblical womanhood and, mm-hmm. and how that just doesn't come naturally to women, does it?
No, it's opposite of what the world would say. And I would say biblical womanhood really would be a woman who knows Jesus Christ as her Savior and desires to serve Him and to live for Him. And so the way I look at myself as a woman is really the way Bible talks about who we are and how really everything we do should be done for the glory of Christ and really about the gospel. And we're all on a journey learning that because none of us have arrived yet, but that's, I think, the goal of biblical womanhood is being conformed to the image of Christ and sharing Him with other people.
And I think one of the things that's been challenging for me, well, not only the S word, the submit word, but the servitude word, that learning to serve with a humble heart, and that's something that the Bible is very clear about, isn't it?
Yes, and definitely I think we spend our entire lives learning about that. Several times in the New Testament, Paul commends different women who served for the gospel or worked hard for the gospel, and I'm thinking, you know, they might have just been cleaning and cooking and meeting needs and being hospitable, and I'm thinking, okay, that's okay, I can do that.
Unlike Amy and I, you had been a Christian before you started raising your kids, so you had the blessing of being able to raise them with the guidance of Christ in your lives. What was that like?
Well, I think that always helps when you're raising your children. But to tell you the truth, Dave and I, initially as parents, we were not seriously in God's Word at the time. We were just busy. We were kind of doing what seemed to make sense to us. But it wasn't until, well, about the time I was able to retire from work that we were seriously growing in the Lord and changing how we are. And you can ask my oldest, Erica, and she said, yeah, Mom and Dad, you changed right then. And we changed churches, and we really started to look at what God's Word said, and that became important, and we were praying together, and we were doing Bible study. Every night after supper, we'd be reading something together. And so it was a time where we all changed, and I'm so thankful to the Lord because somehow my kids all caught it. So,
What did the Lord teach you about? You said that you changed in the way that you maybe you and Dave were raising your kids, about educating them. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, I think it partly has to do with, or you think about, what is the world's way of looking at things? What's important? And what's God's way? And so we truly, as a couple, we're desiring to live more and more godly lives of just submitted to the Lord. And so I changed. I learned to speak more respectfully. I learned to allow Dave to lead. I learned to not challenge him on things, especially, you know, I mean, if we had a disagreement, it wouldn't ever be in front of the children kind of thing, because they needed to know we were together. It changed how we, even some of the things that we thought were important for the kids to do, we pulled back from some of the sports. Our kids chose not to go to proms and dances because we couldn't see any way that those honored God.
Mm-hmm. And I know Erica has turned into a fine woman of God. She is just really a special young lady. And Ben, is he your youngest?
He's our youngest, yes.
You just had to send him off to college.
Oh, my goodness.
So, and he actually, was it at his commencement ceremony that he was the valedictorian and got to speak?
Well, God in his grace gave Ben the platform to actually speak a message, and Ben was asking questions about all ultimate truth, and God is classmates to think about ultimate questions like what happens when I die and what is true and those type of things. And so that was a proud moment for us, but it's all definitely by the grace of God.
Wow, thank you.
You've also had to deal with watching your kids go through health struggles. That must be very tough as a parent.
Nancy, you're right. We have learned a lot of God's grace and probably what's true priorities through that. Prayer has has definitely sustained us. And, you know, Eric has struggled with some foot problems from running. And then Ben, our youngest, has a neuropathy, which is going to be lifelong and painful. And so, what we're finding is even when, as we go through Habakkuk and we come to the end and we say, yet I will rejoice in God my Savior, that is what we've learned. And so we hold on to God. And, you know, whether or not he heals, he gives us the grace to be sustained and really truly understanding that God in his sovereignty sometimes gives us those difficulties to teach us, to help others. I mean, he's got his purposes in suffering. And so, yes, we've walked through some things like that, but I can tell you God is good and he is faithful.
All the time. Connie, thank you so much. We're really looking forward to your Bible study in Habakkuk.
Oh, thank you. It's been a pleasure to do.
Well, let's dive into it then. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, Connie will be here at the table with an introduction to the book of Habakkuk. We will be right back.
Naomi's Table is 100% listener-supported, serving women around the world thanks to our listeners' generous gifts. Go to our website, naomistable.com, and click on the support button. And thank you for equipping us to equip women. No junk food served here. Now, back to Naomi's Table. It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome back to Naomi's Table, and this is our Bible study segment, as you just heard. We are here today getting ready to do an overview of this book called Habakkuk. From our Bible study teacher, Connie Stanfill. She's here. Welcome, Connie.
Oh, thank you. So great to be here.
We're so glad to have you. Let us know. We're going to be starting a new journey today. Why did you select this book, and how do you pronounce that name?
Oh, well, there's a couple different ways, but I'm going to go with Habakkuk. I chose this book because it's a precious jewel in the Old Testament. It's one of the minor prophets, but the message of the book is so... It just applies to today. Mm-hmm. It is a timely book for us to study when we look at the world around us.
Well, many women probably haven't been in that one. It's not one of the more popular, you know, a lot of Bible studies look at the New Testament, and the few that are in the Old that many women at the table have taken might not have focused on the minor prophets before, so this will be new.
Well, I think it'll be a good study, and I'm excited to go through it with the women who are listening.
Well, start us on our journey. What do we need to know before we even begin to study verse by verse?
Okay. Well, today I just plan to go through an introduction to this book of Habakkuk, and we're only going to do a couple of verses, but I want to kind of set the stage and help the readers understand what kind of book it is and what they should be looking for, because I'm going to ask them to also read through it themselves and to see what they notice. And I always know that we learn the most when we do some digging ourselves.
Yes.
And so it's good to study together, and we all learn together. What I want to tell you is that when we come to this book of Habakkuk, we actually don't know much about the prophet. He's one of those unknowns. And obviously, I think that's because God didn't want us to focus on the prophet. They wanted us to focus really on his word. And so, if we just look, open our Bibles to Habakkuk 1:1, there's only, you know, we're going to start with just that first verse, which says, the oracle that Habakkuk, the prophet, saw. And, that word oracle is from a Hebrew word, which means burden. And for the prophets, that burden meant a weighty, a judgment of God, and almost always a judgment of God about sin. And so we know this book is going to be a serious word from the Lord about what was going on in the world at that time. And then we find out his name, Habakkuk, which as best we know is from a Hebrew word, which means to either to hold or to embrace, or actually possibly conversely to wrestle with. And as we go through this book, I think we're going to see that Habakkuk is a prophet who deeply loved his people, and so he loved and embraced his own people. And in the process of this book, he's actually going to wrestle with God. Remember how Jacob wrestled with God? It's going to be, you know, interesting to see that. And really, this is such an incredibly personally written book. It almost reads like a personal journal. And so it's very different in that way. And also, Habakkuk is one of those few books where the writer is identified as a prophet. And so, like, he needed to give himself a title, because otherwise he may not have been validated. That only happens in a couple other books, and that would be in Haggai and Zechariah. Another thing about this book is, even though we don't know much about the prophet, we don't know his parents, we don't know his mom, we don't know his occupation, we do know he's an excellent writer. He probably has some of the best poetry in all of the Hebrew scripture. And so it's, even in English, because we translate those, the parallelism, where they say one thing and then they say it slightly differently, it really helps us see the beauty of the language. And so he expresses thoughts beautifully. He's also obviously well-educated, and he also knows musical terms. And so the last chapter, chapter 3, is actually a psalm that probably was meant to be sung because it has those musical terms that you see in psalms. That's all kind of interesting about the book. Another thing is that really it's a dialogue between the prophet and God. It starts with there's a couple cycles where he asks a question and he actually complains in a way to God, and then God responds. And God's answers always give the prophet more to think about because, of course, God doesn't think the way we do. His ways are higher than ours, and it's a very, very different way to think about things. So it changes who Habakkuk is. We kind of see that through the process of the book. He actually changes. And I think that's how God works with us. When we come to scripture, we're changed.
Yes.
Because we learn God's thoughts. And that would be my prayer for all of us as we learn and study, is to be changed by the Lord. The other thing to know, really, is that when Habakkuk wrote his book, and we're going to be doing a history lesson tomorrow, and I'll talk about this more, this was a time of great international crisis. The Assyrian Empire is on the downfall. The Egyptians are trying to assert their power, and the Babylonians or the Chaldeans, they're called either in the scripture, are just coming to power, and they are a fierce, ruthless people. And so, crazy time to be alive. And then at the same time, we're going to find out this is the declining days of the kingdom of Judah. And by the time of Habakkuk and when he's writing, it probably is during the last four evil kings. And so, life is crazy, and society is corrupt, and it's not a good time to just be in Judah, especially because it's right in the middle of all these major clash of powers. Is probably, just for brief history, it's probably written between 625 and 586 BC, and definitely we know that two of the other prophets that were contemporaries of Habakkuk are Jeremiah and Zephaniah, and possibly also even Ezekiel and Daniel, although they probably may have come a little bit later than he did. Just in overall understanding of the book, I'd like us all to remember that really the theme is that we need to trust in God's justice, power, and faithfulness, and realize he will deal with human sinfulness. He's completely judge. He's the judge of all, but it will be in his timing, not our timing. And so, going to go back to that first verse, and talk about that one more time, and then we're going to talk about the key verse of the book, which hopefully everyone is familiar with, and we can all memorize and keep in our heads. So back to that first verse. Again, I told you that it talks about that oracle, that heavy burden, that message from the Lord that Habakkuk saw, and then that word for saw is a special Hebrew word that actually means to like see a vision. And so again, it seems that God gave this prophecy to the prophet in a vision. And so that's what he's transmitting to us. The other thing I'd like our readers to understand is probably the one key verse in the Bible, or in this book, and then it's used several times in the New Testament, which highlights its importance. And that is the second part of chapter 2, verse 4, which is, "But the righteous shall live by his faith." And we're going to see that repeated in Romans and Galatians and in Hebrews. But it's the key to the book, because it really means that when life is crazy and things are falling apart, we cling to God. God is faithful. It's faith in God, because really our faith is in a person, not in anything else. And so, again, when the world's falling apart, it's the Lord that we cling to.
Mm. You know, as you were speaking about the history and the times that Habakkuk is in, it seems to me that we can bring some modern times into it, because we seem to be in these last days. It always seems like the last days, but especially in America. And I know that we have listeners from all over the nation, but we're seeing some very interesting times happening in this day and age. And I think those ideas the key of the righteous living by faith certainly applies to this day and these times that we're in, doesn't it?
Oh, I agree so completely. And so I think that's really partly a good part of why this book is a good book to study right now.
Yes. I loved how you explained oracle and what that means. And I think a lot of people aren't really sure what oracle means, but the way you explained it is having a burden, mm-hmm. and that God wants to talk to us about sin, about the need for repentance. And that certainly is another modern day theme that maybe we in our current age have forgotten about.
Yes, and I think sometimes we forget God hasn't changed. He judged sin in the Old Testament. He judges sin now. And those of us who are believers in Christ are only spared from that judgment because Jesus himself bore the wrath of God against our sin. And so we're gonna actually see Christ some as we go through this book, because Christ is throughout the entire Old Testament, and we'll, you know, be jumping into the New Testament a few places just to show how New Testament writers understood this book and how they applied those truths to the epistles and all that they were writing.
And you've got notes that we have on our website today. You can go to the Bible study tab at naomistable.com, and Connie, you've provided some great notes, and you'll be taking women throughout scripture as well, not just this one book. Is that right?
Yes, that's true. We'll be looking, bouncing around a little bit and picking up more from all the scripture to help us understand this book.
I'm so excited for this. Thank you so much for giving us this overview, and we're going to leave it right here for now. But when we come back, Nancy and I are going to talk a little bit more about this Bible study and some additional helps and insights that we can bring to you, and some of your thoughts as well as we go through this. So we're very excited to have this, Connie. And when we come back, a little bit more of scripture. We'll be right back.
We equip women around the world to nurture others with the Word. Want to partner with Naomi's Table? Consider being a business partner. Details at naomistable.com. Have a question or comment for Naomi's Table? Send an email to connect@naomistable.com. Now, back to the table.
Welcome back to the table, and what you just heard prior to the commercial break was this first study in the book of Habakkuk with our teacher, Connie Stamfel, and I really enjoyed this. This is so exciting, Nancy, that this is one of those books that a lot of women might not want to read just because they don't know a lot about Bible prophecy, or because Habakkuk was what we call a minor prophet.
Right, and minor prophets is not because they weren't as accurate or weren't as good as Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel, but they're called minor prophets because of the size of the books.
Yes.
Most of the books are only like a few chapters, if even that. So that's why he's called a minor prophet, but the book of Habakkuk tracks so closely with what is going on in the world today, what is going on in this country, the sinfulness of the people, the wickedness, how everybody is doing their own thing. And it's very important, I think, for us to study both what the people were doing and what God's reaction was to it, because we must be reminded over and over again that God is a just and holy God, and he cannot allow sin
to
stand.
No, he can't. And like you said, Nancy, it's the size of the book that divides them from major to minor. And it does divide the Old Testament into these different books. The major prophets are Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel, but the minor ones are Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. So there are a lot more minor prophets with shorter books than there are major prophets. Interesting.
And each one is important.
Yes.
I think of Hosea, which talks about any idolatry that we have is actually adultery on God. And he has Hosea marry a prostitute to prove his point and to demonstrate how wicked the whoredom, as he calls it, of Israel was. Joel, where he talks about your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions, and your sons and daughters will prophesy in the latter days. Very exciting. And you look at Malachi talking about how important it is to remember your duty to God, that 10% of your first fruits needs to go to God, because, hey, it all belongs to Him.
It does, yeah.
But that you need to remember that He doesn't need your money, but He needs your heart.
Yeah.
And that's why we are to do that, to give the first 10% right off the top. That's where tithing came from, was Malachi.
Yeah, and there is some controversy over whether that should be 10% or giving with the full heart. We don't need to go into that here today, but we ought to do that for another program. We ought to talk about what the tithe means. But for this one, you know, the whole reason that we study the Old Testament is because it all points to Jesus Christ, doesn't it, Nancy? And so if you skip just the Old Testament and get right to the Gospels and in the letters, you've missed an entire section on God's sovereignty, who He is. And by the way, Jesus in the Trinity was right there in the very first words of Genesis. So this has Jesus all over it. And so we just want to point that it is important. And at Naomi's Table, we will be studying both Old and New Testaments together. So, yeah, we need to understand the old Jewish customs as well as looking ahead to what they were waiting for, who was Messiah.
Yes, and as Connie put it, we need to trust in God's justice, power, and faithfulness. He is the ultimate judge, but we need to trust His timing and goodness. And when you think about what He did with Jesus in bringing the way to finally take care of our sin, I mean, He still judges sin today, and Christ is the only way that we can escape that judgment, if you will, by repenting of those sins and laying down our lives for Christ.
Amen. And as you study this book of Habakkuk, I encourage you to get the notes. We've put a whole bunch of notes. Now, these notes aren't as long as some of the other Bible studies that we've done, but Connie does have a lot of Bible scripture from other books throughout, woven throughout this. And so what I'm hoping you'll do is just take a look at those. And in your Bible study time, go and look those up, because it's all related. And many of these Bible verses will cross-reference each other.
Maybe look for that verse, "But the righteous shall live by their faith," and see how many times it's repeated, even in the New Testament.
Yes. All right. A little confession to make here. We were just talking about, you know, why it's important to read the Old Testament and not skip ahead. Yes, Nancy, I'm one of those women who, when I pick up a book, I have to look. I'll read the first few pages and see if it grabs me. I will turn to the back of the book and see how it ends before I go any further. You know, I don't know why I've done that since I was a little girl, and it drives people crazy to confess that. But hey, that's just the kind of gal I am.
But some of these guys are talking about the back of the book.
Yeah.
That's why it's important to read what they're saying.
Exactly. And I don't mind saying that. When I skip to the back of the book, I don't skip. I do read, you know, all of the Bible. But Revelation is one of those books that will bless you if you read it.
Oh, very much so.
All right. Well, we're going to leave it at the table for now. But again, the Bible study notes are found at the Bible study tab. You have to go to our website to get it and download it. And one thing you might want to do is bring some women around and just listen to the Bible study segments together. Those are all right there in podcast form. You can gather around your iPad or your computer, but then do the notes together. Ask each other those questions that are there. And that's one of the ways that we as women can minister to one another and train the next generation. All right, with that said, we're going to leave it here for the moment, but when we come back, we're going to have some scripture verses to encourage you for the rest of your day. We'll be right back.
Naomi's Table is 100% listener supported, serving women around the world thanks to our listeners' generous gifts. Go to our website, naomistable.com, and click on the support button. And thank you for equipping us to equip women. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, back to Naomi's Table.
Welcome back to the table. You know, in this segment, what we always like to do, Nancy, is encourage women with scripture. And I say this all the time, but it just blows me away, Nancy, that we are able to read scripture on the radio in context for a little bit longer than a verse or two. What do you have there?
Well, we're going to go back to good old reliable Romans 11, starting at verse 33. I love these verses, as you can tell.
Yeah.
And I don't think we can hear them enough
no.
either. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him to receive a gift in return? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. And I like that line, or who has given a gift to him to receive a gift in return. In some places, it's actually who could do enough for God that God would actually owe him. So that's another way to think about it. And then the other verses are Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. This is the Lord speaking. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts.
I love that one as well.
Good reminder.
It is, it is. And we need to know that we are not God, that he is God. And ladies, all we can do is submit to him. Well, that is where we're going to leave it today. We hope those verses encouraged you today. And if you have any questions or prayer requests or anything like that, you can write to us at connect@naomistable.com. We hope you do that. And we've got lots of articles and resources online at naomistable.com and on our Facebook page. So check those out. Take a look at those. I know that we probably piqued some interest today with that Circle Maker book. But, well, hope you check that out and take it to the Word of God as we do everything. All right. We'll have a great day, and we will see you tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us today at Naomi's Table. We encourage you to head over to naomistable.com for resources, articles, Bible study guides, and much more. Until next time, be equipped and encouraged in God's Word.